Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to, I guess, rain-soaked version of our Thursday, what should have been getaway day in Kansas City, but we are here. We're kind of dry, at least. Jason, how are you doing over there in the other side of the country?
Yeah, if I was to go outside, I certainly wouldn't be dry. It is. It has been raining all day long, nonstop. Now, I mean, I checked out the weather report in KC there, and I guess they're dealing with some lightning and some thunder and some the humidity is unbelievable down there right now. So I guess it's one of those light spring storms that, you know, you don't want to be walking around in metal cleats or holding too many metal objects outside. Yeah, nothing like that. So, but yeah, otherwise, you know, not too bad.
It's been a few hours since the Blue Jays have been playing baseball, and I don't think they're going to get back to it. I really don't from looking at the weather report. But at the end of the day, I think they're is somebody holding out a little hope that they might just be able to squeak the game in so that they don't have to worry about picking this one up later because it's technically unofficial, only going into the top of the sixth. Could benefit the Blue Jays later on, seeing they're currently trailing 2-1 to the Kansas City Royals, who have clearly had the number of the Blue Jays for the last few days, Jason. It's been a little bit of a rough start to the week here and going into the weekend.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is I saw the majority, or at least watched the Jays in 30. Again, thank you, Sportsnet. But, you know, they gave you a pretty good flavor of what's going on. And to be honest with you, I don't think the Jays have been outplayed in any game yet in this series. In fact, I think they held the play. They just can't seem to get the extra part of those secondary runs over the plate. There was about five or six times where they had runners in scoring, one out or none out, and still managed to be able to get themselves into a two-out situation and then hit a meaningless ground ball. It's nice to see, you know, sort of the offense jumping all over the place. Dalton Varsho has been, I mean, all advertised that we were expecting a couple of years ago. I mean, he's the man.
Wago, man.
I mean, he's just bats on fire, gloves on fire. I mean, you know, he still looks really sad every time they cut to him, but I mean, you know, that's just him. Sorry, buddy. But yeah, I mean,
sad face.
Yeah. But you know, it's little things like watching Vladdy pooch that ball at first base, and then that inning kind of comes unglued. You know, when
it's the whole game.
Yeah, it's little things like that where you're like, you know, just finish the play. You're a pro, and he's made lots of good. It was his first error at first base all year, so I mean, you kind of got to give him a pass. But when it does cost you the game, you don't really. It's where you start to wonder why that's happening. I mean, it was a decently boring game, so I can see where a play like that, you know, kind of happens quickly and you've kind of been sitting there twiddling your thumb for a bit. But you know, it hurts to
lose the game that way, Jason. Yeah, it really comes down to, and you know, he was wearing that one, unfortunately. That's the catch to it, and that's baseball.
Better now though than a lot of months from now. You know, if Vladdy can keep his errors way down like they are right now, and, you know, they can keep playing. I mean, Kansas City's a good team. Like, I don't know what Salvador Perez has been doing, taking whatever. But, I mean, he hit a stand. The guy's like, what is he, 47 or 48? He had a stand-up double. Like, I don't think I could run from home to two, maybe not even a straight line, over the pitcher's mound to second base right now. and this guy's ripping balls into the gap and walking to second. Like, come on, man. And he looks great behind the plate. He's throwing guys out. But I mean, I think that, you know,
this is the shocking part. He was born in 1990, dude. He's only 33 years old. He's going to be 34 here, actually, in 2 weeks.
He doesn't wear it well. Oh. Sorry, Sal. You don't wear it well. I thought you were really old.
I thought he was older than that, too. I didn't think he was almost 34, you know?
Yeah, so. We would have lost that bet, buddy. I'm glad nobody on Twitter fired out a comment on that one. We probably would have lost a bet there. The weird bets we get.
The other catch is... It feels like he's been playing Major League Baseball forever is the other catch, too. I cannot picture the Kansas City Royals catching without Salvador Perez.
He's been there a long time.
20 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's so, you know, it is what it is with that. And they're a good team. Their left fielder is a stud. And, I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. And, I mean, the list kind of goes on and on. They're kind of like the Orioles light, you know, like they're all the talent that the Orioles do. They probably don't have the pitching and but that's the kind of thing that comes around if you were going to hitch your wagon to a team coming up in the next while and you didn't like the black and orange. I mean, maybe you go to the Crown. I mean, who knows? They're a good baseball team.
But then in the midst of that, not only do they, like you said, have those young talents on that team, they also have guys like Adam Frazier that just somehow sees Blue Jays blue and turns into a bull running at a bull. You know,
he's unbelievable, that guy, especially against the Jays.
He was batting, a .150 going into this series. In the first three games, he had, I think, two doubles, three singles or something like that in just the first two games. It was insane. It's like, okay, great. Now he's doubled his batting average. So he always I think that Blue Jays announcers on the game last night said that he has played against the Blue Jays in his career 23-something games, and he has 21 hits.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely happens. There's definitely guys that are hotter against certain teams. And, you know, that being said, the Royals have one of my favorite named guys in the whole league. Like, is there any name better than Vinny Pasquantino? Like, right. And honestly,
the nickname on top of that, the Irish Joy was the Italian Nightmare or something like that.
Oh, I hope so. That's awesome if it is. But just great, wrestling great vibes. Name. Great name.
So, as fun as it has been in Kansas City, unfortunately, like I had mentioned, I agree with you that the fact that regardless of what's happened in the series, they did take it to school against the Padres and took that series. They'd won nothing, but that was their fourth series in a row that they won over the weekend against the Padres. So they started this road trip off right. So if you flop against this Kansas City team, the unfortunate reality is that it's not getting much easier over the next week, my friend. They got to play the Dodgers. Thankfully, it's at home. And I don't know if you saw what the Dodgers did the other night, but that was slightly local.
Well, I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. I mean, at this point right now, the Dodgers are an all-star team, and they if they can keep doing what they're doing, they may get to a point in the season where they are untouchably ahead in the National. I mean, they are phenomenal at every point, at every position. Yeah, obnoxiously good. And, you know, it's, they bought it. I mean, you know, like they did everything that the Yankees have tried to do for years and years and years, but they're doing it the right way. They seem to be able to find people who have chemistry with each other. I feel like Davey Roberts has a lot to do with that. Like, I mean, he's just such a personable guy, and I can't imagine that he would be a bad manager at all. I would think he would probably be. And even Justin Turner has said, you know, what a great manager that he was. But he's able to take these, you know, this ragtag group of sort of really different players and, you know, say to Mookie, you know, hey, Mook, we're going to play in the field. Ooh, wait, we're going to play at two. Ooh, wait, let's put you back in the field. Maybe go to short. Like, you know, it's one of those things where everything he tries seems to work. And I don't know how the Dodgers do it, but they always seem to have somebody behind the guy who is the guy who's really good. Like, my son has been a fan of the Dodgers on and off for a long time. And so I get to see, you know, a little bit of it. And if somebody will get hurt, which we'll talk about, the Jays have a ton of guys that are hurt right now. But
yeah,
a Dodger goes down and another one comes up and you're like, oh, who's this guy? And he goes like 3 for 4 and you're like, what? Oh, really? And it's like, and then he has, you know, 2 good weeks and then he disappears into the ether and you never hear from him again. Yeah. And you're like, where did that guy go? And then he pops up 2 years later in Minnesota and he's terrible. So yeah.
And to that point, I believe that something's good with the Dodgers system because they had to have a base for all these talented players to come into. You just don't turn this on overnight. And right now, this is still a team that Walker Buehler is still hurt and all these other guys that are, you know, on the periphery, right? For every Mookie Betts, they have a James Outman, who, by the way, I heard nothing about in prospect minor league guruism that I, you know, used to have a claim to fame on. All of a sudden, he's a decent outfielder for them. It plugs in. You know, it's all these pieces that build a good team. So, Jason, we were hedging the bet a little bit in this conversation to eventually lead into Blue Jays parts. The Blue Jays are unfortunately getting dinged up a little bit already. And there's some maybe, I'd say, Major League Baseball-isms that are playing into some of the stuff with the pitchers. With the enhanced pitch clock, it seems to be the pitchers are slightly getting upset that that little bit of extra time is actually the reason that they're having problems with their arms. Have you listened to any of this stuff and think there's smoke to that fire?
I think there is a bit for sure. I mean, you know, if you rush your mechanics and you're throwing probably technically faster, if it's not more pitches, it certainly feels like it because you're compacting the time that you're doing it. You know, you don't have that sort of secondary time to get off the mound and give your arm a little shake and grab the rosin bag and, you know, kind of stretch out if you are, you know, if your elbow's bugging you or whatever, you've got to engage and go. And, you know, so I think there's probably some truth to it, but I mean, it's the same as, you know, like the league is seeing, you know, everybody's trying to throw harder and let's not discount the fact that that also is going to hurt your arm. Like, I mean, you know, I watched that guy pitch for San Diego the other night against the Yankees. And that's the one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life. That guy didn't drop under 100 for 15 or 16 pitches or something like that. No off speed, no nothing, straight gas. Like, and by the way, did you see what his name? I can't even remember his name. All I saw was his nickname. They're calling him the gas station or the station because he's pumping straight gas. You know, it's
that's great. Funny.
Another good one. But regardless, that's the other thing that's coming into play is, you even watch Berrios or Kikuchi or Chris Bassett. They're all trying to throw their fastball harder. No one's trying to get softer right now. It's hard. And that's incredibly taxing on your arm. And you know, you're only going to see more strain from there. But I mean, I think that potentially the right thing to do is maybe MLB needs to give them an extra slot so that they can have an extra pitcher in the rotation. I don't know what that does for them. I mean, you don't want to be going six games in between starts, but you also don't want a pitcher that could be down in your minors pitching, you know, quite a bit or pitching his regulars. So I don't know what you do. I mean, maybe reduce the games by 10 or 15 games. I mean, I don't think that would kill anybody. Like, really, honestly, you could probably go 20 games, to be honest.
I just don't understand why the pitch clock had to get less. That's the thing I just don't understand.
Yeah, I agree with you too.
Maybe it's because every game I went to last year, this is Blue Jays, minor league, anything like that. It just felt like I had a couple of beers and the game was fucking over with.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, where the hell the rest of the game goes? Yeah. 2 hours. Where you go to a football game, maybe it's because I'm living there all day when I'm in a Buffalo Bills game, tailgating from, you know, dawn to whenever the hell the game's over with.
Bills Mafia.
So, exactly. I've only been thrown through so many tables. I promise that's not why I had the shoulder surgery. So, but on that note, like I said, it just seems to me there is something to that those few extra seconds that it's a full pause that you're actually maybe recomposing yourself before you gather and go for it again. Or maybe it's a little bit more rush now with some of these pitchers, because like I said, the numbers for nuance injuries for pitching arms are crazy up, it feels like, across the board for strains, inflammations, all these kind of things. And now we're going to see Chad Green's kind of on the shelf-ish right now, along with the fact that we have, you know, after yesterday, who actually came into the game on a critical point, Bowden Francis, and did a really good job actually writing that chip. He's now on the IL.
Yeah.
You know, and just case in point, even silly things like that was Alek Manoah after a couple of starts in spring training with the shoulder tightness and stuff like that. It seems too much smoke to not be a fire to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Baseball in general.
I agree with you. I will say this, that I feel like the MLB is the kind of league that as they start to see this more and more, and as people start to talk about it more and more, they actually tend to listen to the fans and the media, and they actually will, if their managers are coming to them and saying, hey guys, we need to go back to what it was, and we're just risking too many arms. They'll do it. They're more than willing to take a chance on things. They're more than willing to implement rules and change rules to try and make the game better, which a lot of leagues should take, heed of. But again, I mean, sometimes you screw up, and that's what you're looking at is this is probably a screw up that hopefully they can justify and move on from. I mean, it's not that tough to make the change back. They're all used to it. No one was, you're not a 16-year-old coming into the league and this is all you know. They're all used to it. So my advice would be to go back. But we'll see, I guess.
Yeah. I don't maybe have as much confidence in the whole fact that they're gonna fix it anytime soon, because other than if that was the case, that the Major League Baseball jerseys still would not look like shit.
Oh god, they're awful. Some of them are so bad. I feel so bad sometimes when a guy turns around and you're just like, oh Lord. Like,
it's like, and would you zip your fly? Oh wait, that's just how it looks.
Yep. Just a license to sell hot dogs.
I'm very thankful that the Blue Jays jerseys, at least most of the time, they've been wearing the home blues instead of the whites.
Yeah.
So at least
everything looks like white looks awful.
You know, the solid colors, the white ones are horrible. And it's like a see-through, horrible, like you said, a sausage factory at that point. So but in roster moves, though, like I said, Bound Francis did move down to the IL list here for the 15 days with a forearm extensor tendonitis. Don't know that one, but it sounds very technical and doesn't sound like
or
a good
made
time
up,
of any
or
level
completely
tendonitis.
Made up. It's either real and not good or made up and
But the Blue Jays are going to get a lefty in their bullpen for a little bit, and Brandon Little, and he's done a decent job in Buffalo for a very good Buffalo Bisons team. And that's where I want to steer this conversation, Jason. This offense has been struggling to find themselves. We saw Kevin Kiermaier go on the IL here in the last couple of days, and they brought the hottest bat probably in all of Blue Jays' system outside of maybe Dalton Varsho over the last week in Addison Barger. We saw what he was doing this spring. He has completely ransacked International League pitching in AAA to the tune of 20 RBIs already this season. Yeah. And that's also peppering in plenty of home runs and showing thunder at the plate.
Yeah.
We saw in his first at bat yesterday that Kansas City ballpark was probably one of the few ballparks that would have actually held that ball to center field.
Yeah, and so, it was crushed. Like the thing that I like about Barger, and I've said this before on the show, and I'm gonna remain a fan of his. And I don't know if you were privy to the conversation that Buck Martinez had with Barger about why he swings so hard. And I feel this is interesting. I know we don't have a ton of. I mean, there are some kids that I know that do listen to us, and thanks to all the kids on my baseball teams and stuff that I coach for still sticking with us and listening. But
get in those comments, gang, come on.
The big thing for this is Barger, if you can believe this, was a very undersized kid. He got his size came to him very late. Somewhere between 16 and 18, he really started to have his body change. But he was always a really, really, really good contact baseball player. So what he had to do was he had to come up with a way, and we're just dealing with this right now because turning 13 is a hard thing. You've got some kids that have hit puberty and they're 6'2 and 190, and you have other kids who haven't.
Some are this tall, some are this tall. Yeah.
And what you have to be able to do is you still have to be strong enough to hit the ball into the gap for extra bases. I mean, it's what 13-year-old baseball is all about. I mean, you're working up to hit the ball out, and you're lucky if you do, because you're getting, the parks are getting smaller as you get bigger. But the biggest thing is he learned that the harder he swung when he was going to go, the better result he had. And if you look at Bo or Mike Trout or you know, some of the more traditionally violent swings. Like, although Bo Bichette's swing looks really smooth, if you ever go watch a slow-mo of it, it is violent. Like, his motion from his top through the baseball is so fast and so violent. And it's like, then you go back and look at Ken Griffey, and he was very similar. He let his hand stay back, and then it was just violence. Yeah. And so what Barger does really, really, really well is his bat speed through the zone is incredible. He's able to stay on the ball through a long plane because he's learned how to drop that shoulder a little bit and just pivot perfectly. But it's follow through and finish. His follow through and finish are incredible. There's some of the bat, like him and Bryce Harper. If you watch the two of them, they finish so nicely and so aggressively that'll give you sometimes that extra 5, 7, 10 feet, you know, that you need to get a ball out of a park. And I think Varsho hit one the other night that went out at straightaway center field, and his finish was violent. Yeah. Like, he finished it and almost fell over. And great. Awesome. You know, like, that's what I love to see. I love to see guys. So Barger has now grown into a unit, and he still hasn't changed his swing at all. So, I mean, he's going to get his, like, if you pitch him in the zone, he's going to get you. And I mean, you know, like, if we're going to keep talking about the Buffalo boys, I mean, Martinez is on fuego. Like, I mean, the guy is on he's interstellar right now.
You know, he has hit 6 home runs in his last 7 games. Just saying.
Goofy.
Just to throw this out there to the ridiculous level of what it is. One of those went 469 feet.
Unbelievable.
That's not getting a piece of it.
Yeah, getting all of it. Getting some of the next.
Yeah, some of the next.
Maybe the one after.
Honestly, at the end of the day, if Robles Martinez had more outfield experience, I think he would be on this roster right now. I think it's funny reading through Keegan Matheson's articles and stuff before the show about how good Martinez has been. The fact that we have 22nd baseman on this team right now is not helping Aroldis Martinez. And I think that's slightly odd and off because Martinez is a decent third baseman. And right now, if you look at the production we've been getting at third base,
yeah,
it ain't so hot.
Yeah, I mean, I think IKF has been pretty good defensively. He's made a lot of really good plays defensively. Barger is equally as good defensively. I would trust him there. Right. I trust his bat at this point. It's weird to say, but more than IKF's, I would say. IKF isn't making enough money for me to worry about sitting him in my book. My big things right now with the Jays is I would like to see Martinez come up, even if he hasn't as seasoned. In the outfield, we've got a Springer who is I feel like he's a little hurt. I don't know what it is, but he's skating gingerly.
Not getting it right.
Skating gingerly through the neutral zone very often. You know, he's not running full clip. He's not going full clip. He hasn't for about a week. But I mean, you know, if you're looking for offense, which they're so brutally in need of right now, I mean, give Martinez a chance in the outfield. I mean, I don't know if you also heard, but Barger was complaining. I mean, Barger's an infielder. We all know that. But he got moved to right, he's been playing right now moved Buffalo. Left. And apparently he's been crushing it in Buffalo. Like, and he was like, I really like right field. You know, like, had I known sort of a couple of years ago, I would have asked to play more right, or I would have, you know, at least tried to play more right. And then they put him in left.
We saw how well he can do left. He ran literally through a wall the other night.
He pooches that triple, which, I mean, you know, it's going to happen in your debut. And then he makes a beautiful catch a couple of innings later. He didn't look foreign out there at all. I mean, it's, you know, it would have been nice to see him be able to play today. But
I'm looking forward to him getting his first real major league swings here and get a chance to do something well. And I do think he has every opportunity here while Kevin Kiermaier is on the IL. And I'm wondering if they're using that as an experiment to see how well he transitions to make that next call to bring in Aroldis Martinez.
Maybe. Yep.
Because the other fun part about this is Barger played third base too. So
he's got a cannon
everywhere.
Of an arm.
Yes. Yeah. And that was, remember last year, before Matt Chapman all of a sudden finally found his lumber and was able to hit for, you know, 1 month of the season. Everyone was wondering why Addison Barger didn't come up with the team because he had an insane spring training. Mm-hmm. He ended up having a good minor league season, but he was hurt a lot of the year. It was the productive building blocks that, to his credit, got him where he is currently right now, sitting in Blue Jay dugout, waiting for the weather to break because he might actually get into this game if they actually ever can actually get the thing going back up. But to that point, I do think that they need to do something at third base. I like you said, I have liked what's going on with IKF. I think he adds some good pieces to this team. But to me, the problem is this is the difference. I'm going to go back to Angry Bird Jays here for a second. And I'm going to say this is the difference between having somebody like John McDonald play second base for a few games or have Aaron Hill in that time frame play.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very similar. It's interesting. The Jays are mirroring that angry Jays look, lineup, and feel right now. You know, there's still one game over 500. They've got a lot of looks like that. You know, like they've got a lot of weirdos and odd mixes and you know, like I still like Danny Jansen. I don't know what's going on with that guy's look right now, but whoever his stylist is, they need to be fired. And I mean,
don't worry, he'll shave it mid inning one of these days, and it'll change all up.
He's like sideburns and a big bushy mustache. That's in it. Like he's got his catcher's mask on, and you can see it like coming up the side like this, like a party favor. But
he's been getting in a Romano's shaving kit or something. You know, yeah, just making sure it's as puffy as possible. one thing I didn't know when I was looking, I didn't notice this until I just happened to be looking up at the screen here with the Buffalo Gang's hitting statistics up. The 21 RBIs for Barger pop off the page in this equation, but the fact that he actually was basically, you know, 50-50 for walks to strikeouts, 14 walks, 15 strikeouts. And then the other part that I didn't notice when I was looking, I knew he had a few home runs. He had 10 doubles.
Yeah.
In those 19 games. Yeah. So the average year part, what you were talking about with the power, those are the things that in a ballpark like Kansas City at the major league level turn into easy doubles when you get in those big gaps and things.
One of the
that.
Things so, that I was just reading as well is so they were talking last night that Martinez and Barger are in the top 10 for exit velos over 105 miles an hour this year which is insane. And then they were saying something to the effect of Barger's average distance on those doubles is like well into the sort of 200 foot range. So they're blasted into the gaps, and he's almost been out on a few of them because they've been hit so hard that the fielder's able to get to them, and he doesn't think it's going to happen. So he's running for two, and he's got pretty good wheels for a guy his size. So I mean, it's impressive to watch. I mean, it's, you know, the guy's an athlete. He's a unit.
That's the thing I think that with those two gentlemen that we were just talking about with Barger and Aurelvis Martinez, they are athletes. I do think that if you bring Aurelvis Martinez up to this lineup and play him at third base, and you still have room to get rotation for bats for Barger in the outfield, maybe a day at second or something like that, third, things like, I think right now a platoon of Barger at third base and Aurelvis Martinez is not that bad for them to get at bats and then pepper him into the outfield with Kiermaier hurt. I need that catalyst, and I think some of that young 2.0 talent here could help.
And don't you think, I mean, if you're going to bring Martinez up, now is the time to do it. Like, now is the time that if he pooches a ball in the outfield, it doesn't kill you. You know, like, and he's got Kiermaier on the bench. Kiermaier's a wealth of information on the bench. You know, and let's be real. If they need to, Vogelbach has, we have to talk about Vogelbach. He's been hitting the ball a long way, but it's not a long enough to get it out of most stadiums anymore. And, you know, the sort of, you know, big guy on the bench joke has sort of run its course, I feel like. And he either needs to put up or shut up, or they need to send him down and allow a kid like this to come up and start to shine. Like, I mean, I would much rather, even if you've got Martinez DHing, like, I mean, at least at that point, you've got somebody who's a violent threat to hit the ball out, or at least get somebody on. Like, I mean, you know, the Jays.
And Bogey's not exactly going to be lighting up doubles. He's got to hit the ball out, or
yeah, it's a single or it's a home run. That's it. Out. There's no other option. You're out. You hit a single or you hit a home run. He could hit a ball into the gap or into the corner, and it's still a single. So, I mean, it's.
And to that point of the other fun here is like this, I think it's still biding time for the Martinez's or whoever to come up, or the Joey Votto thing that has been crickets lately. Rip the Band-Aid off now and just, like I said, get somebody like Martinez. He's already on the 40-man roster anyway, so just get him up here and let him hit and see if it continues. He had a 15-game hitting streak heading in today, too, along with all those home runs. So I'm in the ballpark of riding a hot hand and see if it'll light up this offense, because maybe that just gets the spotlight off of Bo and Vladdy for a minute or something like that, because it's Buffalo Boys 2.0 with Schneider all over again.
Yeah,
and absolutely. They can find themselves. And if they find themselves, this lineup's going to be dangerous again. But think about this way, Jason. You mentioned that we're technically a 500 team, basically, at this point. They haven't hit with shit.
Yeah.
And they still been finding a way to win games. And I can't say it any worse than that. They've been finding enough timely hits to be able to win ball games. And you look at the Davis Schneiders and these guys that had been, I'll say, clutch in the pieces to that. But it just is that next piece of the puzzle here. What is the igniter to this lineup? We already know we're going to pitch well. And even when we haven't pitched great, we've still been in ball games, you know, outside of like really one ball game with Gossman. And the one that Bound Francis started the first time, that was it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But we've
already forgotten about that. It doesn't exist.
One handful of bad games that we were never in. So if they can find a way to get a little bit more offense, it's going to translate to more of these wins, but they have to find somewhere to start moving the needle in that direction. And I don't know if the game's coming back on right now or if they're finally killing it, but Sports Center's finally showing Jamie Campbell and the gang back on. So anyways, do you have another idea on how this team finally takes a turn? Because I'm saying that Justin Turner can't keep this offense going on his own.
No. And wow, has he been ever. I mean, let's call a spade here. Like, I mean, Big Red has been absolutely unbelievable. He's just a machine. And, like, he's been taking, pitchers, 8-9 pitches into count, and then he just smashes one into a soft spot. And it's clinical the way that he's hitting the ball right now. And his they killed it?
Yes, 5-inning finals. They showed it. I didn't think a game like that was actually allowed to count. I thought it had to be 6 innings.
I don't know.
I'm going to have to look that rule up, because right now it's showing the Blue Jays record as 13-13 at exactly 500, just to be fun.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you? But I mean, it's...
Oh, anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No. I think that there's a number of catalysts that we have at our disposal, and I feel like we have to start using some of them. And I think that Danny Burgers is the first one. And I love you, Vogelbeck, but you got to go. And then we start to move from there. I mean, Danny Jansen back and starting to get healthier. He's starting to hit the ball a little harder. He looks like he's in a bit, he's getting there, which is good, because Kirky seems to have dropped off quite a bit lately. Vladdy's being Vladdy right now. I feel bad for the guy sometimes, and then I just, like, other times you're like, wow, you're so good, and then and then you're so bad. It's a mixed bag. Varsho is hitting so well and playing so well in the outfield. I feel like he kind of, spurs the team on. But I mean, I think overall, that they need to get some. They need to make some sort of an attempt here. They need to try something right now. Why not? What if you go on a 6 or 7 game heater with Martinez in the lineup and Barger in the lineup, then I mean, and or on the flip side, what if you lose two? You've just done that to KC with not a great lineup.
Three now.
So, you know, take a chance.
Yeah. They have to do it this way. I really think of the way this lineup is constructed, outside of the, I'd say the guys who are really paying, I think they really have to just find the guys that they can go with a hot hand. Schneider's hot for a week, ride him until the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
Barger's the guy, you know, if IKF is one of those ones that just finds it and just has a monster week, I'm not opposed to that. And I don't think it's out of the cards. But I think this team is, if they're going to be successful, I think they're going to have to find a way to balance those guys and find a way to plug them in and insert them in the right times. And I can't say it's because of pitching matchups with the bullshit I watched the other night with Vogelbach and then the sixth inning still. Yeah. But with the offense struggling the way it was, the way it has been, that was the opportunity there to strike. And I think you had to pinch hit with Vogelbach and the whole planning for the future with they have more righties in their bullpen. I don't give a crap. I really don't. You have to, right now this offense is flat. There's got to be a way you take an opportunity when you can take it. And if you don't take it at those points where you could have, you're going to get more losses than you're going to get W's, because you can't just mash everybody every week. That's not how it's been in Toronto Blue Jays baseball for a few years now.
No. But, you know, I think that the Dodgers series presents a whole new kettle of problems. And so maybe they'll be more willing to look at something like that. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. They've got, what do they have? Do they have a couple of days off, I think? And then 25th? No,
they'll start right tomorrow.
right into the the teeth of the lion.
The plan was that today was getaway day and it was a 1 o'clock starts or something like that. So the idea was they were going to get home at an appropriate time. I'm assuming that's honestly why they probably just finally called the game, seeing it's 7:30 over here on the East Coast.
Yep.
And they have a 7 o'clock game tomorrow against the Dodgers at home. It's also like Hello Kitty night or something like that, which I thought was hilarious because they have Otani there that night.
Well, I mean, know your audience, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and to that point, I thought that's going to be one of the storylines that we're going to be talking about this weekend with the Blue Jays and the Dodgers going at it, the Shohei Ohtani stuff with the, you know, flight gate and all that other stuff that was going on, along with the, you know, highway robbery that he's supposedly dealing with and all these other pieces to that puzzle. But my assumption is the Blue Jays fans are going to let him have it a little bit. I don't want them to exactly at the same, because it's player doing what is best for him and his family and all that kind of stuff. But I just kind of have been, I know a feeling on the blue collar level of Blue Jays fans, and I am assuming there's going to be some booze when he comes into the plate the first time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And I don't even know if those are directed properly. I mean, have you looked at the leaders for the entire MLB right now for batting?
Oh yeah.
Lately?
It's slightly nuts. Yeah.
Well, it's Mookie's leading at three. He's got a 374 average. Will Contreras is in two at 365. Yep. And then Ohtani at 358. Ohtani. And Will Smith, who, I mean,
signed a big
deal. And so it's three Dodgers out of five. And then you know who number four is, tied for four? Is Sal Perez. He's hitting 352.
I was going to say, is it Sal Perez from our previous conversation? That one doesn't shock me because he's been playing so good. So the last time Salvador Perez, like, was this good, I drafted him on a flyer like in the 10th round of my fantasy baseball league, going, you know what? Screw it. And he ended up being like a near MVP. And the most home runs he had in his career that year.
Shohei's hitting 358 with six homers and 16 RBIs. So he's doing okay.
Yeah. And I can't remember how he did the other night, but didn't he have five or six of those RBIs the other night in that massacre that happened?
Oh, yeah. They killed somebody, didn't they?
The Dodgers destroyed, I think it might have been the Marlins, 22 something.
Yeah. Yeah. Mookie's got six homers, 21 RBIs. You know, Will Smith.
Pro bowler, Mookie Betts.
Will Smith only has one home run.
Baseball.
Yeah. He's only got, Will Smith only has one home run, but he's got 18 ribbies. And
that won't stay that way either. Will Smith has got a ton of pop in that bat.
Locked in right now.
Like we were talking about in the preseason, you know, he's not the most It's another, it's Mike Piazza 2.0 for the Dodgers, correct? You know, he's a decent catcher, but he's clearly the catcher of this era. Is he, nobody can throw anybody out. He catches a good game.
That was the other thing that right? I was going to mention to you before we came on the air is the fact that Gausman is awful at holding runners on right now. And
yes,
until that changes, I mean, it's a free for all on the base pass. I mean, the MLB players aren't getting slower. They're getting faster. And you're
the game's tipped in their favor right now too. Yeah. So
it's, I mean, I was watching the game the other night, and in some cases he wasn't even trying. He turns his head and he's just like, I'm just going to try and strike this guy out. I'll give you second and maybe even third. And you're like,
yeah, it's like Mitchie Williams in the World Series with Ricky Henderson, man. He just didn't even look at him. Just,
yeah.
And that's a part of the game that honestly that I like with some of the Buffalo Boys stuff that we were talking about earlier too. Barger's got enough to be dangerous to at least get some pitchers dancing a little bit. Aralvis Martinez isn't a slouch on that avenue either. I really think the Blue Jays need that edge or something to add to their game. And unfortunately, Double K going out of the lineup as far as somebody that's speedy in this lineup is not helping. But right now, if you're talking about who's the MVP of the last 2 weeks, you're looking at one person, and that's freaking Dalton Barshow. And how many people were going to say that?
Nobody.
At the beginning of the season.
No, not even Craig wearing a Kiermaier jersey would have said that.
I was hoping all the best for him. I really was. I didn't want that to go down as one of the worst trades in Blue Jays history, because it was honestly heading in that direction. I really hope that we're finally seeing the comfortable Dalton Barshow. We might be seeing, obviously, the peak to the season here, but I'm hoping it's not a regress like this. We're getting Matt Chapman version of April from Dalton Barshow, and we're finally seeing just his grinding level of his game finally coming to the top here, because I think you and I talked this out before. I always saw Dalton Barshow as, okay, we just traded a lot for a good player like Reed Johnson. That was the guy that I see him as. He's a guy that has the potential of batting an old school lineup at the top and grind out at bats and make it really a pain in the ass for opposing pitchers and pepper in enough hits and RBIs and play great defense, which is exactly the best way I can say Reed Johnson's career was with the Blue Jays.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's so many things that go on at the different sort of beachheads during the season that you need to, you know, this is an important series. Like, you're going up against, if the Jays are good enough to make it to the World Series, they're more than likely going to play the Dodgers. And if they're not going to play the Dodgers, they'll probably play the Braves. So this is the kind of series where you can't just roll over and be like, no, you know, they're really good. They're really good at baseball. They paid them a lot of money. No, you can't. You got to try and smash them in the mouth, take two or three, you know, don't let Ohtani go off. You know, don't let Mookie go off. Like, if anybody's going to hurt you, make sure it's the guys who aren't making $30 million or $60 million a year, right? It's sure it's the guys who had to dig to get it. And then at least you feel like you've beaten the best part of their team. So
I didn't look
yet who's pitching yet for the, so the Dodgers have Stone, Glasnow, and Grove. I mean, you know, Glasnow's been unbelievable.
Yes.
Stone and Grove look terrible, but, you know,
but and they're Dodgers. They could get 3,000 runs.
And I Bassett also feel like
I doubt it.
Those two guys are two pitchers that the Dodgers are trying to throw at the Jays to try and right their ships. So that's where you have to go in. Both of them have plus six ERAs. You got to go in there and you got to smash them up. You know, I don't know if
they have to take advantage of it. And I guess to that point that you have Bassett pitching tomorrow night, and then you have Kikuchi and Gausman over the weekend here.
That's two or three you could win.
There's a chance, like I said, nobody's untouchable. And to that point, the pitching is what's kept us in ball games. And we saw Bassett turn the corner. We've seen it, what looks like Gausman has figured things back out from what was obviously, like we were talking about last week, some lack of spring training fun. And but his last start did look a lot better, in my opinion. The splitter was moving. So hopefully that means good things. I do think they are still up for a challenge. But the old mantra in baseball is good pitching beats good hitting.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be real here. Like, we're talking about the Dodgers, like they're perennial, you know, World Series finalists already. The Jays are 13-13. The Dodgers are 16-11. Like, it's not like the Dodgers are, you know, 25-2. It's really close. And it's funny because, you know, as much as the Jays have sort of been smashed around in the media, and every single time they have a misstep, it seems like the sky's falling, even more so this year than I've seen in past. Like, in past, you know, there's been some, but there seems to be a real like edge to it this year. I mean, it's not like they got Ohtani and they're this is happening.
Yeah,
we didn't get anybody and this is happening. Like, I mean, you know, we're the same team as last year, basically, minus a few, plus a few, but nothing major. So, you know, if the Jays are to make the playoffs and make it through a round and maybe challenge, great, awesome. I mean, that's what you're looking for out of progression, right? Like, you've still got a lot of young guys that you need to progress. And, you know, comparatively, you know, I don't know. Again, I don't have as much free time as I would like to have to just mess around and look. But, like, I don't even know who has the best record in baseball right now and what it is. Like, is anybody running away with it? Like, I think all those other teams came back down to earth, didn't they?
This time last week, it was the Cleveland Guardians. I haven't looked on that stat, but I will get that for you here momentarily. So go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, you know, like it's one of those things where, well, I mean, yeah. So like the Yankees are 17-8, Orioles are 16-8. So, I mean, but the Yankees got off to such a ridiculous start that it's, I mean, that helps them.
It looks like it's still the Cleveland Guardians, funny enough.
Yeah.
Yes. 18-7, the Cleveland Guardians with a plus 49 run differential, Braves, which is currently the best in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of teams challenged. Yeah. 18-7. Yeah, like the Mariners are leading their division, and they're one game better than the Jays, tied with the Rangers. Rangers are the same.
Yep.
They're in second. You know, it's wow. The Astros are in last, 7-19. There you go. Gotta like that.
Doesn't that White make Sox. You feel good that the Astros suck? God.
The White Sox are a football team. Oh, the White Sox are so bad.
Just to throw this out there, if the season ended somehow today, the Blue Jays are two games out of the wild card behind the Boston Red Sox and the Detroit Tigers.
Crazy.
So it is what it is. But to that point, obviously, there's a lot of baseball to play, and people need to understand that. And this isn't all gloom and doom. You know, like I said, the Blue Jays have a lot of good things going in their direction. And it's if they can find some offense, it really would help this team out a lot.
100%.
You know, this you're looking at a team that's quote unquote in a rough spot right now, and they're almost even with the run differential.
Yeah,
and
winning series, they've won what three out of the last four series, and
according to MajorLeagueBaseball.com, with the run differential and all the stuff that we've did, and this is taking into home and away series and stuff, they said our record should be 11-15.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So for 13-13.
They're battling at least.
Yep. So like I said, it's only a couple more wins when you really boil it down. But at the end of the day, that just shows how good the pitching's been to be able to do that. And like I said, I do think there are levels of this offense that this is the basement that we're at right now.
Yes,
I think there's room for improvement, and I think we can get better. But they need to find something to get back to a little bit level of consistency. And right now, throw the mud against the wall, see what sticks, right?
Yeah, that's my first prop. This is the time of year to do it. I mean, you've got really two spots during the year where you can try it. You can try it now, and you can sort of try it in mid-June. You know, like that's where you know, it's getting warmer. You've got, you know, like the balls are flying a little bit better. You're kind of locked into a good spot in your division usually. You know, you're starting to get into the games that are starting to mean a bit, but they still aren't like killer. Like, you know, when you start to get into July and August, you don't really want to be taking a chance with somebody. But you know, if you're going to tinker a bit and you've got the availability to move guys up and move guys down, why wouldn't you do it now? It makes perfect sense. So, yeah, I know John Schneider spends his entire evening going through Jaybird watching every week. You know, I know for a fact he likes a nice cognac and a cigar and just sits back with him and Pete Walker and they share one set of headphones and listen. I know you're listening, guys. Yeah. So, you know, give
the
it a
problem
try.
Is I think that they should listen to this show just a skosh more and maybe put the calculator and the analytics away.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm dying for this Blue Jays management team to get back to just the littlest bit of old school baseball.
Yeah.
And this was unfortunately the reality of what I ended our season on last year. And I haven't seen anything change. And I think that's why you do have the bogeys around, why IKF has been basically solidified at third base, regardless of the offensive peak or output capabilities. Like I said, there's got to be just a level of just, hey, you know what? We're either going to try this. We fail. We're right where we were. Or, like I said, just put the calculators away for 5 minutes. Throw away
and play baseball. Yeah.
If the hitters want to use it, fine. Let the hitters go it.
Yeah.
I cannot comprehend on old school baseballism some of the levels of changes and things that we've done over the past calendar year. And I think there just needs to be a mantra change. It could be that simple. And I do see it happening on certain pieces. I would love to just see them throw it out for a little bit.
Yeah,
see what happens because it might just stir the pot. It's really what I'm wanting, right?
I'm with you.
Is there anything else you would like to talk about, my friend, going into this weekend before we dive into stupidisms and picks the click?
not really. I mean, I think it's been one of those weeks where I haven't really been able to pay, other than the Jays games, I haven't really been able to pay too much attention. And I mean, the NHL dominates right now. So it's the first round of the NHL. As soon as it's done, everything kind of calms down a little bit. It's
been fun so far.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's so entertaining to watch. I mean, it's, you know, unfortunately the Canucks, you know, lost to the Kings the other night and, you know, I'm not going to make any comment about the Leafs Bruins series. I will not. I will bite my tongue. But you know,
it might
it's
just
fun.
Beat the shit out of each other. That might just what happens. Yeah.
It's fun when sports are fun. It's fun, right? Like, I mean, you even got like, you know, you've got the excitement of having a game on every night and mix the baseball in there. And I like the fact that Major League Baseball has made sure that it's marquee games. They're trying to work around the hockey games. They're at least smart enough to know that if the Maple Leafs and the Jays are playing, don't put them head to head. You know, that no one's going to watch the Jays. I hate to say it, but or very little will watch the Jays.
It would make sense.
Yeah. But I mean, it is what it is. Like, I mean, try and be smart, which, you know, MLB seems to be doing and seems to be trying to make sure they can.
I don't know if you knew this or not, but there is some level of cooperation and partnership actually between the NHL and Major League Baseball because they actually share a lot of the same advertising and branding and stuff like that. So there's already, I can't remember, they talked about it a few years ago. That was the reason the NHL network was following the MLB network model. It was some of those kind of things. And it's like, oh, hey, guess what? We're just like a, you know, it's almost like a quasi-sport merger.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's talk picks to click, my friend. I got the scoreboard here. And unfortunately, I think we need to hurry up and get back to actually having a consistent night here because this guest spot is really starting to take off because I don't really think I can argue that they had Dalton Varsho carry over from last week because they won.
I think so, we got to scrap it. So,
but anyways, that's what happened last week in Blue Jay baseball. I had Turner, you had Vladdy. We gave Ken Davis Schneider because he was the roughest starting player in the lineup last week over the past week in Blue Jays baseball, which is the default. So unfortunately, the rule we made last week, this means that Dalton Varsho would carry over again because the guest won.
We didn't have a guest here to pick something else.
I know it's like I said, we got to hurry up and get back to the consistency so I can like,
we could almost give it to you. We could almost, there's nobody here. It's just you and me. We could almost give it to you.
Yeah, at least, I mean, JT did have a good week, but he didn't have five ribbies like, you know, Dalton Varsho did this two home runs over the last 7 days.
A good test for Ken, you know, to when we come back next week and be like, oh, Kenny, you know, the guest spot lost. We gave it to Justin Turner. What? You know, see if he's listening. Yeah.
So the roughest performers in Blue Jay baseball for Kenny, because he has his birthday. Happy birthday, Kenny.
Happy birthday, Ken.
We're going to stick you with Kevin Biggio this week.
Oh, let's give him Kirky. So, give him Kirky. He loves the maple beef.
And he loves Alejandro Kirk.
Yeah, let's give him the beef.
I was looking at guys that at least played most of the games last week, and Kirky only got into 3 games last week.
Oh, really? Well, maybe not then.
Biggio got into 5.
Okay, we'll give him Cav.
Okay. We always know that he's good for a random one anyways. So your pick, sir. Who think is going to be the best this next week?
My son Jet is sitting here in the room, and I'm going to default. Who's my pick to click from the Blue Jays this year? This week, who's going to have the best week? One guy. Just give me one guy. That's all I need. Ernie Clement. Oh, he's going Ernie Clement.
Oh, well, he's off to a good start. Today he got the only ribby the Blue Jays had. So that's actually funny enough, the second time you've picked Ernie.
I like him.
He's a good pick.
I know.
He's over the past week, he's done pretty good. Got into 4 games, batted .375 with 4 ribbies. So that's not so bad.
The Clement
one
boots.
Less than the guy that won. He just didn't have 2 home runs to go with it. I think this is going to be Danny Jansen's coming out week. I really do. I think it's the post. He's settled in past
that's
the injury.
That's a great pick. I think that's a great pick. Yeah, that's a sneaky good pick for Jano.
I love Danny Jansen. Still been one of my favorite Buffalo Bisons that I'm waiting to like fully put together at the major league level. I know he can do it. Stay in the freaking box, man. No more bad luck because that's really what it has been. So. To end the show, I'm going to have a little fun at the Yankees' expense over the past week. Did you happen to see
Brett Boone.
The Brett Boone. The Aaron Boone.
Yeah, Boone, right. That's what I meant.
So in the midst of this whole thing, Brother Brett, actually, funny enough, actually does a podcast these days, too.
Yeah, that's why I said it. I happened to be watching a little bit of that today.
That's too funny. So anyways, I'm gonna put this up on the screen here, and this is
glorious, by the way,
for the baseball fans that have not seen this. Aaron Boone is doing Aaron Boone things is about the best way I can say it. I'm good, I'm done. After he's been chirping at the umpire repeatedly.
Yeah.
The best thing is some Yankee fan in the stands must say like fuck off ump or something like that, and he tosses him.
It's like it wasn't even me. It was this guy here. Like and they're pointing
exactly.
Right. The guy's like, "Wasn't me."
So at this point, nobody is knowing what's going on. The Yankees announcers are flipping out, and he's like,
"These guys are laughing
right there.
Look at the guys laughing." Oh, it's the guy in the blue shirt. He's got his arms up. Even
it was 100% that guy with the blue shirt and the sunglasses right behind home plate, pounding a beer right now.
Oh, good. But I mean, I think
these guys are the stands there right there.
Yeah. I think it speaks to the fact that Aaron Boone's such a jackass, though. Like, I mean, you know, like he doesn't even get the benefit of the doubt. Like, the ump's just like, oh, that's definitely him. Like, there's no doubt about the fact that Aaron, yeah.
How many times you get ejected for stupid stuff, Aaron? You know, no big deal. Sorry. Bye. This time, finally, maybe you'll keep your mouth shut this next time. They get to finally show in the autopsy report here of the gentleman in the stands screaming at her. Because you just see Casey Winelstadt was done. He wasn't dealing with it. I'm out.
So good.
You can just have a nice day. But he was sitting there quiet. I'm done. And then, wait, what are you talking about?
And I knew it.
It's that guy in the
blue
shirt.
Who's these guys? Who's this guy over here?
What are you talking about?
Who's that guy in the green shirt? Was that lady with the red hair?
He was doing his best Harrison Ford. It wasn't me. It was the one-armed man speech.
Yeah.
So,
oh Lord,
just
that's good.
Just slightly obnoxious, and to all things baseballisms. That's one that was a good blooper for the in the recent history of baseball that literally got ejected for the fact that your own fans can't keep their mouth shut.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
So, on that note, anything else?
Not a thing, buddy.
All right. So, Blue Jays fans, Thursday's evenings are going to be our new night. We're going to try keeping this track going so we can actually get some people back on the show. I apologize for all the scheduling fun that we've all been having lately. Make sure you tune in next Thursday to the live show. I see a ton of you in the chat. Please say something. There's no way in hell Jason, me, and Ken are always this right that y'all can't mention something in those chat windows to be able to not have something to throw into the flame here for us to chit-chat on. So please get into these conversations. Next thing, it's almost the end of the month. So next Friday, so not tomorrow, but next Friday is our contest winning night for our TikTok follow. So make sure you join us tomorrow night along with next Friday for the announcer of who's going to win the most recent prize on our TikTok follow contest. Make sure you get over to TikTok before, especially here in the States, they do something stupid and get rid of it in the next 9 months. But to that fact, all you have to do to enter is follow and be in the US or Canada when I message you as one of those potential winners, and you will get a Blue Jays Jay Bird watching gift pack, depending on what this fun wheel behind me gloom or dooms for you. Yep. Yeah, Jason got his giant pack of what I think I sent you 80 of those things from my 3D printer. There's the big, that's the big grand prize right there if you're a Blue Jay fan. I have been very nice to the fans that have been not Blue Jay fans that just like the baseball card openings. I actually, funny enough, sent a Brewers one of those recently, Jason, to some guy in Washington.
If you made me one of these from every team, I would gladly take them. They're awesome. You can put them up on, like, they hang nice. I've got a little hole in them. You can hang them nice. You can get a little Velcro thing and put it on. I would easily take every one.
Yeah, and the fun thing about them is they're actually made to be light boxes, so that front screen is actually meant to be, you pop it open, and you can put LEDs in there, and it kind of like act like a, you know, a light,
light box.
But the nice thing is, like I said, you want to hang it on a wall, just drill a hole through the back of it, and you're done.
Yeah.
Or if you just want to use it to put candy in and be like an old lady, I don't know.
Or you can make like a sick necklace, like one of those big gold chain necklaces that they have at the hockey game.
Put it on a spinner and have some fun with it. You know, kind of like my little guy.
People, get out and live a little.
3D printer too. The 3D printer is behind the monitor up here. This thing.
Awesome.
So, anyways, Blue Jays fans, like I said, Friday night packs on TikTok, along with giving us a follow there, we'll make sure you are entered. That's that simple. At Birdwatching GC, or just type in J Birdwatching Podcast on TikTok. Follow, entered. Done. So on that note, we are the official podcast at jaysjournal.com, part of fanside.com. Wherever you can get your podcasting pleasures from, I promise you, you can find us here at Jay Bird Watching every week. And until then, it's that simple. 1, 2, 3. Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Aaron Boone.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdwatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/BirdwatchingGC. Go Jays, go.
Woo!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.